You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed part one of my interview with Gabby. And now without further ado, we're going to pick right up for part two. I did not mean to rhyme. Make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube channel. We'll make sure both part one and part two of the videos will be up there. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, share this episode with a friend. Let's hop right into it.
You know, I think when we say be still, that means that you're literally being like like you're twiddling your thumbs. No, you're still doing things. You just may not be doing them in the areas that you want to be doing the work in. Right. I was still working. But it was more so personal development. It was more so me understanding, God, what do you need from me versus what can I be doing for other people? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we want to do so much for others. That's why we land in this place of not doing enough for ourselves. And we land in this spot of all of the toxic habits that kind of come up with that. So, yeah.
Speaking of toxic habits, though, one of the things you talked about just in this season with your grief and everything turn into emotional eating. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah. You know, the thing about emotional eating, you typically don't know that you're emotionally eating until you know, like, because we just think that, oh, I just love food. And, oh, this is just my go-to snack. I just want some chocolate. I just want some chips. And for a long time, I thought that that was it, because my thing, y'all know, salt and vinegar chips, never going away, never giving them up. That's just my thing. It's a nostalgic thing. And once I started tracing that back, I came to the revelation that I love salt and vinegar chips because my grandmother used to get them for me every time I came home from school. And so she's no longer here. So that takes me back to missing her, but also feeling seen, feeling comforted, feeling understood because she knows what I want. She knows what I like. And so oftentimes emotional eating is just what it is. It's you eating your emotions because maybe something is not being met. And oftentimes it's a primal need, which is like, I want to be seen, loved, heard, trusted, all of these things that we may not be getting our needs, our emotions met. So whenever my dad was passing, to be transparent, we didn't have the greatest relationship in my formidable years. So as I became an adult, his presence in my life became even more important. And so as he was like not able to eat, oh, I was eating for him. I was eating all of the things. And it was because I ran from actually sitting down and really processing what was going on. I was running and I know that that's a pattern of me. I am very conflict avoidant at times. So whenever I don't want to deal with it, let me go give me some chips real quick. Let me go grab some ice cream or whatever that thing is to kind of recalm me in when I really should be turning to God, because food can become an idol if you allow it to be. So yeah, it's a slippery slope if you're not aware of like what your triggers are.
So how can someone be able to decipher if they're a foodie or emotionally eating? Because I'm a foodie.
Yep.
And eating makes me happy. I love to go to my new place. I love to cook. So, you know, food is something that is joyful to me. And I think even in the Black community, food is a celebratory thing. We come together, we eat. You know, Sunday dinner, holidays, we eat. Food is very central in our culture. Yeah. And so I think that translates into a lot of us being foodies and liking to eat, going to food for certain things. So how do you know if I'm an emotional eater versus this is just something that I enjoy?
Yep. So I think you have to ask yourself a couple questions. Number one is, am I hungry? Mm-hmm. Simple question. Am I really hungry right now? And this goes back to understanding like what your eating cues are, like knowing like what's the difference between real hunger versus like me craving something. One sign of real hunger is that real hunger comes on slowly. It's never like a quick thing. Like if you instantly feel like, oh, I could eat this or I'm hungry, it's typically a craving, right? So first asking yourself, am I truly hungry? If I'm not hungry, what do I really need? What's missing here? Because sometimes we overlook the real need because we're so accustomed to turning to food to soothe, right? Mm-hmm. So like, for example, you can be at work and, you know, having a conversation with your boss. You unknowingly, y'all may not have had like a run into, but you don't like him in the back of your head. So every time he come to your desk, you're like, oh, here he come again. It can emotionally trigger you. And then you're just like, man, let me go down here and grab some chips or something like that. If you're not careful and you're not aware of how your boss may be impacting you emotionally, it can lead to you eating and then that eating becoming a habit. It can start off as emotional, like he can be emotionally triggering you. But now every time you see him, oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I need to eat this. Oh, I need to go get that. So that's some of the ways that you can identify if you're emotionally eating. Am I truly hungry? And if I'm not hungry, what is it that I really need? You really need to get to the root of, okay, am I not feeling seen by him? Is he not really hearing me? Is he like crushing my dreams? Like what's really going on there? Mm-hmm. A foodie, you still, it's still a very slippery slope, mm-hmm. because sometimes we label things as, sometimes we can say we're a foodie and then it's just like, well, there may be some environmental factors that are included in that. For example, come home after work, it's been a long day. You just love ice cream. Like ice cream is just your favorite thing to eat. But when you typically eat ice cream, you sit on the couch, right? Environmentally, that can trigger you to be like, man, I'm sitting on this couch. Where my ice cream at? So we can say that we are foodies and that we love these particular foods, but sometimes it's the environment that we're in that can also trigger something in us that makes us feel like, this is just who I am. This is just what I love. This is just what I'm going to do. So it's a slippery slope. No doubt. Like, are there foodies? Yes. But you have to also say like, okay, if I'm eating this food, am I overeating it? Am I going for seconds? Yeah. Am I eating past full? Am I only eating this because the food is there and people are offering it to me? So like social pressures and all of that. So it goes a little bit deeper than like, you just kind of being a foodie sometimes, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And I can see that. And I think it is important, like you said, to not be restrictive, but mm-hmm. to also put boundaries around things. So like I was joking with the ice cream example, because I told you about the ice cream that I love. The Netflix flavor. I'm telling y'all, Ben and Jerry's, they sell it in Target. I get the non-dairy kind.
I'm going to have to try it. I haven't tried it.
You need go get it. If you find yourself in Target, get it, because they sell it there. But you wouldn't even know it's non-dairy.
Okay.
But when I get it, though, it was always my thing where I watch Wednesdays. I watch like Married at First Sight. That's my little show. Yeah. I'm a grandma. I only got one show in me in the evening before I'm going to bed. So I would get my ice cream, watch my show. And that was my decompress mm-hmm. time. But so what I do is I get the small pint. I don't even think it comes bigger, but I only buy one small pint and I keep that in the house. And my rule is I can't eat the whole thing in one sitting. And so that way I'm able to still have the ice cream that I want, but I'm taking out what I'm eating and putting the rest in the freezer. So I'm not overindulging or anything like that.
Yeah. And that's the easiest tip that, you know, instead of eating out of the whole bag of chips, just put some in a bowl. Like there are simple ways that you can prevent yourself from overeating. So I love that, Tatum. That's a good tip.
And what it sounded like when you were talking, it sounds like a lot of our behaviors around food can, you call it a slippery slope, but I think a lot of it is like word curses too that we say out of our mouth, like, I need this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, even if we take food out of it to show the severity of it, it's, I had a long day, I need a drink. Yeah. I got to smoke to deal with these people.
Yeah.
Like, you're now prophesying over yourself that you need mm-hmm. some type of external factor in order to have peace of mind or right. joy. Or whatever, and that's a problem, whether yeah. it's food or whether it's anything else. If you need something other than God in order to show up in your best way, then that's an issue.
Absolutely. Yep. And that's why food becomes an idol, because oftentimes we haven't been taught other ways to self-soothe, right? So we saw our parents turn to food if they were stressed. We saw our parents turn to food if they were excited. We saw our parents turn to food if, you know, if there was an event, like, you know, Thanksgiving is like one of the biggest times of the year where we really gather and we really use food as an exciting thing to gather around. And that's fine. But you said one key word, which is knowing your boundaries. And this is a piece that a lot of us don't really dig into, is creating those self boundaries. It's easy to set boundaries with other people, but do you have self boundaries for yourself? Can you tell yourself no? Mm-hmm. Can you set some things in place so that, you know, instead of eating out of the whole pint, can you get a bowl out and try something different? And you had mentioned something earlier about, you know, you never would have thought that food would have made you feel this way because of your sinuses, and now you can't unknow what you now know. Like, now you're never going back. So what if we were all to like learn what it feels like to really have clean energy? Mm-hmm. Like, the chances that you'll go back is very low, because now you know what it feels like and you know that it's actually possible. Like, because mm-hmm. we're oftentimes just leaning on external things, kind of like what you said, to kind of get us by.
Yeah. And I love how you talk about, you know, this comparison between elevated eating versus dieting, because mm-hmm. I even think about, you know, my own dietary changes now that I'm in this whole vegan world. It's a lot of alternatives. So mm-hmm. I like Beyond Meat, the Impossible Things, and all of this. And so I find myself, even with those things, I'm like, well, I don't want that, because what it is a compilation of chemicals mixed yep. with a little pea protein or something. Mm-hmm. And now it's plant-based, but that's still not good for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I want to make sure what I'm putting in my body is actually going to be fueling me to do the things that I want to do. And so more so the vegan diet would have me still eating a bunch of carbs,
yeah,
eating a bunch of processed plant-based stuff. Fake cheese, fake everything, mm-hmm. for the sake of saying it's a vegan diet, but that's still not good for yeah. me, my body. So mm-hmm. can you elaborate a little bit more on, you know, the dieting versus the elevated eating?
Yeah. So when we think about, so dieting is a form of emotional eating. It's just like overeating, binge eating, eating when you're, it's another form of emotional eating. And so really what it is it's restriction. And what happens whenever you restrict?
You want
to think about it. You want it more. Mm-hmm. You end up craving it. You fall victim, quote unquote, victim to it. You eat it. The emotions subside. You feel guilty. You feel ashamed. And then now you want it again. You're just like, well, I already ate this pint. Let me just finish off the whole thing, because mm-hmm. it's just here. Right. And so elevated eating is you deciding to set parameters in place, boundaries, you deciding to accept accountability for what's going on, you really taking the strategies and the tools that I teach my women on how to eat more mindfully and elevate it, and really applying it to your life. So what I believe is there are no restrictions, because now you have boundaries, because now you have self-control. So whenever you learn how to navigate through that, you don't need to restrict yourself. Because what restriction does, again, is it just leads you down this path of wanting it more. You binge eating or overeating, whatever that looks like for you. And then there's this feeling of shame. And this is a big, big part that I think God wants us to really get a handle over this shame that is associated with food. When you think about Eve and she eating that piece of fruit, this is the first time we see in scripture where someone eats something and then they immediately feel shamed about it. And so God wants us to release this shame that we have around food, because it really is a secret shame. Nobody wants to talk about me overeating at night. Nobody wants to talk about my late night snacking or me going all in after I get off of work. Nobody wants to talk about that. It's a secret shame that a lot of people struggle with. So this is the core piece that God really wants us to deal with. Don't be ashamed over anything that I created, because God said, don't call anything that I created unclean. So this is why even our verbiage around food matters. There's no good or bad food. There are foods that take you closer to your goals or food that take you further away. At that point, it becomes a choice. Will I choose the apple or will I choose the chips? If you choose the chips, it's on you. It's again, it's not about you feeling shame. It's just about you deciding to make a different choice. That's what elevated eating looks like.
I love it. This is a little funny. So I watched this. It was like a TikTok, and they were talking about like what era or situations in the Bible do you want to go to? And somebody in the comments was saying like, I wonder if Eve really risked it all for an apple though. I was like, you know what?
She was hungry.
An apple, Eve, like. It was nothing else that could have maybe made it a little bit more worth it. Apple says,
you threw it away. I hope it was good, because
listen,
you got us out here.
I want to talk about like some of the women you work with, though, because like you said, it is this whole mindset and behavior around eating is something that is a silent thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that people deal with. So what have been some of the things that your clients have faced, or just how has this impacted their life? And now that they've gotten around the elevated eating, what has life been like for them since then?
I think one thing is finding the freedom again, because food can keep you so stuck. And I don't even think that we realize it. Like, there are so many rules that we have around food, you know, such as, you know, whenever we were kids, we were told, You gotta clean your plate before you leave the table, or you can't, in order, you know, or us being rewarded with food, like, you know, you make straight A's, I'm gonna take you out for pizza, right? And so thinking about how that transitions over into adulthood, now we reward ourselves every time we get a promotion, we reward ourselves with some ice cream or whatever that looks like, or now when we sit down at the table, we feel like we have to finish the whole plate before we get up. And oftentimes that's just us overeating. So I think one of the biggest things that women have understood is that there's so much freedom here to be found. And there's more than one way to get to your goal than dieting. Because I think whenever we only give ourselves one option, then we limit ourselves to limitless opportunities, right? There's a more realistic way for you to get there. It may take a little bit more work, because we are having to like unlearn some of the things that you learned around food. But in the long term, you're going to be able to sustain this a lot more versus you bouncing from diet to diet to diet. So the freedom is the first piece. Shame is the second piece, because now I'm telling you, eat what you want. I help my women to build a temptation routine where, you know, instead of you immediately rushing for the craving, there's a routine that you go through, a customized routine, whatever works for you, that almost kind of distracts you from the craving. And at the end of it, if you still want it, eat it, because there's no shame around it. But just know that you made a choice. You know, either it reflected your goals or it didn't. That's just it. Then you get back on the bandwagon. And then the third thing is learning the joy of eating well. Because there's this missing concept that like, oh, if I eat healthy, that means that it's boring. Or if I eat healthy, that means that I'm not going to enjoy it and it's nasty. And all I got to eat is broccoli and chicken. And so we have this misconception about what health looks like. So it's been fun, and it's been like so great to help women to kind of like re-envision what health looks like for them. It doesn't have to look like this or that. It can literally look however you want it to look. Now let's set some boundaries in place and help you to unlearn some of these things that you learned around food so that you can actually walk that out practically so that it's not hard. We make it extremely, extremely simple. So that those are some of the big things that my women have been seeing.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. I need the right person with the right background who can move my business forward. If I wanted a candidate who matched what I'm looking for, I trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on these other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results that you need. Sponsored Jobs boosts your posts for quality candidates so that you can reach the exact people that you want faster. And it makes a big difference. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed are 90% more likely to report a hire than non-sponsored jobs because you reach a bigger pool of quality candidates. I know for me, as we're going into this new year, I need some help, especially on the back end for this podcast. I would want somebody who has a history in digital marketing, someone who is very tech savvy, that is very experienced with different AI tools specifically as it relates to content, somebody who's done this before. And here's the thing with Indeed Sponsored Jobs, I get people who fit that description. I'm not digging through resumes of people who've only edited one YouTube video 20 years ago. I'm getting actual individuals who know what they're doing. People who've done this before and can prove it. That's what makes the difference. You get people who are actually what you're looking for. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Yeah, I love what you said, that eating healthy doesn't have to be boring.
Mm-hmm.
That was my biggest thing when it came to changing my diet. I'm like, well, shoot, what am I going to eat?
Yep.
and so I started using like meal kits and stuff. One, because they're convenient and they're easy, but it gives me an idea of the things that I like because I'm eating stuff. I never had a fennel before. I'm like, well, what is that? Like, how do I cook that? Like, I don't know what to do with this. So like even having these meal kits helped me learn more of what I like and how to add, you know, with vegan meals, you add a lot of like nuts and things like that. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this was kind of cool to have the crunch that I would want to have, like when I'm eating like a crispy wing or something like that. Yeah. I keep the nuts and the seeds, and that gives me like a little crunch sensation that I like. Mm-hmm. And so just trying the different things, I'm like, oh, we eat well around here.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful that I went to God with my issues of how I felt, and he gave me a solution. And it's something that's really joyous. A lot of my family now, I got my grandmother eating non-dairy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't even tell her until she tries it. So I put something in there and then be like, and I'm like, you like it? She's like, yeah, okay, it's no milk in there. She's like, okay, I guess it's okay. So just even my family now, they'll have like certain vegan things, and they're opening their minds up by, you know, the lifestyle change that I was able to make.
Yep. That's key.
One thing I did want to bring up, because one thing that's a fact when it comes to elevated eating is that it's expensive. You know, eating well is expensive. My grocery budget is crazy in addition to meal kits. So how can someone who may not be able to afford to eat well still be able to steward their bodies well?
Yep. So the first thing that you can, and this is what I do, it doesn't take a ton of groceries to make to make meals, right? So what I'll do is I'll buy my main protein, my starch, my veggies, and then I literally have a plan for what I'm going to do with my food. Mm-hmm. Typically, the way we grocery shop is we grocery shop. First of all, we go in there on an empty stomach. So we see and we're eating with our eyes. And so we pick up things that we don't really need or things that don't really add to where we're trying to go. And so I buy a few items and I find recipes in ways that I can cook them in several different ways. Right. Mm-hmm. So I can pick up chicken and some salad, some quinoa. How many different things can I come up with this? Well, for one, I can eat the chicken, the quinoa, the broccoli. For two, maybe a second on day two, I can buy some lettuce, make it into a salad, a chicken quinoa salad. Day three, maybe I can make a wrap out of that. And so I use that technique, and I find different ways to I use key ingredients that I can prepare in several different ways. So that's a way that you can save money instead of feeling like you have to buy all of these different things. Number two is shopping in season. So knowing, especially when it comes to vegetables and fruits and things like that, if you buy fresh, that you can go. There's a website. I'll have to Google it, but I know that there's a website where you can see what fruits are in season, and those are the fruits that are typically going to be on sale in the grocery store. Also, buying frozen. Don't be afraid to buy frozen because it still gives you the same nutrient density that you'll find in the fresh foods. Plus, it lasts longer because how many of us buy fresh fruit and let it sit in the refrigerator and then it spoils and we never get good use of it? So buy frozen vegetables, frozen fruits. And then fourth, going into the grocery store with a list. Don't go over that list. Okay. This is where that discipline and that self-control comes in, but have a list instead of you just kind of going in and shopping off the brain. Have an intention with what you're going to do. And so this is something that I also work with my women with, is having a meal planning session before you actually meal prep, because meal planning is different from meal prepping. So I walk them through like my 4-step process of how to actually set your days up so that you can get all of that done without it feeling super overwhelming.
I love that. Yeah. Something else that we do too is, because I know my behavior is I'll get tired of eating something. Mm-hmm. So
me too.
I'm more likely to eat out and eat something that may not be the healthiest because I don't want what I cooked anymore.
Yeah.
And now I'm out. I'm gonna go over here.
Yeah.
So something that's helped with even like not wasting food and stuff like that and getting that variety is when I make stuff and I know that, okay, this is going to go beyond like a second portion, I'll freeze it. Mm-hmm. So that way maybe it's still fresh. And then later down the line, I might want it again and yep. I can just pull it out the freezer without buying it all over again, without cooking it all over again.
Yeah.
So that's really helpful. Just making enough, freezing it and having that stash to go back to, because yep. Otherwise, it'll go bad and I'm wasting money.
I need to do that more. My mama does it. I don't do it enough, but I need to do that more too.
Yeah, BJ put me on, you know, Africans don't waste nothing.
Listen.
So.
Okay.
He throw something in the freezer like, you're not finished with this.
I'd be like, but ain't it going to be freezer burn?
Exactly. That's totally, I've gotten used to it now. I'm like, I done messed up. I'm married an African. I can't eat anything around here.
Oh, man, that's funny.
So I love that you have this checklist that you're offering everybody who's listening to the episode to really help you be able to develop that discipline beyond, because it's self-control, essentially. Yeah. And being disciplined behind food choices, and self-control is a fruit of the spirit for a reason.
Yes.
We need to have it. So tell us about this checklist and how people could use it so they can start eating well and being more disciplined around their food habits.
Yeah. So the checklist is called, it's how I help my clients overcome food cravings. And so actually in that, there's actually a free, I think it's like 9-minute training session of where I actually walk you through how to actually use that document. But there are 4 simple questions, and I just gave us 2 questions to ask yourself. Are you hungry? What do you need when you're not hungry? Like what's the deeper issue? But the second thing is learning how to really take hold of your food cravings, because the truth is that they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You're always going to crave something. So how do you actually harness that? So when it does come up, what do I need to do? And in that, I walked you through how to build out the temptation routine that we just spoke about. It's really simple because it's customized to your lifestyle. But in this, you'll be able to build out a customized temptation routine so that when the craving does come up, I'll know that I need to do this, 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 and this. If I still want it, it is what it is. That's fine. But the key is to eat it without feeling shame around it. And the goal is for after you build this routine and after you go through it a few times, the goal is for if the craving comes up, it's going to be more exciting for you to do the routine versus you actually getting to the craving. So that's why it's important that you choose activities or tasks that actually excite you so that you'll be more excited about doing that. And then prayerfully, you'll forget about the craving and you'll start just doing this nice routine that actually gives you more energy.
Awesome. Yeah. So the link to that is going to be in the show notes, you guys. And I'll put it in the comments of the YouTube video once this goes back up. Gabby, thank you so much for coming
down.
Thank
you for having me, Tatum. This was great.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And are you on YouTube?
I am on YouTube.
I'm
on YouTube. It's been a while since I posted, but I'm on YouTube, Gabby Athletics. And then on Instagram, Gabby Athletics _. Make sure y'all follow me now because my name is about to change. Y'all are like the first people I'm telling this to, but follow me now because you may not be able to find me later. It's gonna be my name, but you know, just go ahead and do that now. So Gabby Athletics _ on Instagram. And then Gabby Athletics on YouTube.
Okay, cool. So we'll put that in the show notes. And then when you change it, let me know. And then I'll swap it out for the new name in case anybody comes in afterwards.
Awesome.
Yes. Well, thank you guys on YouTube that has hung out with us live. We appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe to the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Part one of this will be aired Sunday, part two next Sunday. And then we'll put the full YouTube video up at a later time as well. So y'all have a great Friday, a great weekend, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye.